Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
JQ, we hear your voice or your face.
I'm waiting on Andre.
That's on me.
My bad. Hey, he's
there.
Oh, yeah.
Force with the 12th man is officially kicking off, man.
What up, fellas?
Oh, man, what a great night. We got the bait. We got some Major League Baseball playoffs going on. JQ's happy because of the Lakers. We got a lot of things to discuss, man. And I listened to the show from last weekend, and there's a lot of things to discuss, especially about the Cowboys. And if they would have lost to Cleveland, there'd be a root canal going on or something.
A
root canal? Ooh,
Andre, I want to join into your face, gentlemen.
We had a lot of predictions that went awry, I would say.
I'm still trying to air my house out. I've never smelled my house being as stinky. God, they must have had something in their stomach, because boy, they messed my place up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
It's gonna be a long time before I get that smell out.
Gary wants to talk about Paul George again, but we'll have to.
Oh yeah.
I believe it's Gary's favorite player. I think he wants Paul George to sign with the Blazers.
No, we don't need him. Yeah, we don't want him. We'll take Dwight Howard over him. Same kind of player.
That's pretty bad, too. Yeah, we have a lot of things
Damn.
To discuss. But, man, that just shows you how far we've fallen. Hey, guys, again, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are going to kick this party off, as always. I'm going to say that we are wrong with a lot of predictions. I'm waiting for Naj to jump on, too, because we have a lot of things to jump into. But without further ado, as we always like to do, we want to throw out some numbers. Follow us, call in, all that good jazz. The number to call to the show is always the 424-243-9519. That's number one. Follow us on the Twitter, at Twitter, which is at 12th Man Sports, which is THMEN Sports. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports12man. Or if you type in Talking Sports 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Shout out to Rob, man. Congratulations, excuse me, sir, on that promotion. So big time for Rob. He is going to be wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. Definitely representing Tom Brady and everything like that. So shout out to Rob. I'm just joking, man.
I'm relocating to Tampa, but I ain't wearing no Tom Brady jersey. Oh, no Tampa jersey.
Andre, I'd like to propose a toast to Rob. Congratulations on your position, Rob.
Congrats, Rob.
You know,
congrats, man.
We've known each other.
Got my cup of tea here and my toast.
We really appreciate you. So congratulations. That's a huge news. Of the day. Absolutely.
Especially because the Super Bowl is going to be down there.
Yeah, I'm already starting to suck up.
Yeah. I'm getting briefings already on the Super Bowl.
15 years.
No. Rob, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers make the Super Bowl and you're the station manager in Tampa, you would have to wear a Tampa Bay jersey. I wouldn't wear Tom Brady's either, but somebody.
Tampa Bay is hosting the Super Bowl, but the Bucs won't be playing in.
They might be.
Congrats, brother. Congrats.
Taradale, see you having a good year.
Appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. We're having fun, man. Hey, let's check in and go around the room. Do a quick little shout out. How you guys doing this evening? JQ, how you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm good, man. Got me on the round the end of the day. My Bengals won on Sunday. My Lakers won yesterday. Can't say no more. Feeling good.
Feeling good. How many brewskis do you have?
What a difference a week makes. What a difference a week makes. Rob Ford, man of the night. What's up?
Happy for Joe Burrow. I'm rooting for the Bengals from afar.
We appreciate you.
Okay.
But, yeah, everything's good, man. So, you know, celebrating, drinking a nice hot cup of tea. And, you know.
That's a hot toddy. You stop playing.
Yeah, I think y'all know what I had for dinner, so I don't think y'all want to know.
Oh, my God.
I probably just want to know what I had with it.
Yeah.
No, we don't even want to know that now. You ruined it for us.
So, some pompano and potatoes. Ooh-wee.
I knew.
Oh, man.
I do. There is a foodie.
If y'all haven't had pompano, man, it's one of the best tasting fish on the planet. It's a gold fish, like white flaky fish. Hmm?
Yeah, that's chef special. You can get that when you get that new job and that raise. Go on, get them, Rob.
Nah, man.
So
we went down to the seafood market and picked it up.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Good deal. Curtis, Gary?
Well, you know, we're still licking our wounds from this miserable outing we had to endure from our Cowboys, who have, I think, the worst defense. Maybe it may end up being the worst defense ever by the end of the season, unfortunately, because
it was called an Atlas on ESPN.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
they took the D off of Dallas and called him an Atlas.
Then my Yankees lost today, and I'm really worried about my Miami Hurricanes this weekend. So,
oh, they play Clemson.
I'm worried. Well,
I think Miami's gonna give them a run for their money. I think Clemson still wins the game though, but that quarterback, De'Ara King from Miami, has been quite impressive. And, you know, he's been playing well, throwing the football, running the football. I look for Miami to be competitive in that game. And if Gregory Rousseau was still there, I might even give Miami a chance to win. You know, he's going to be a top 10 pick in this NFL draft. But I think Clemson will pull it out in the end about 30-20. But I think Miami will definitely be competitive in that football game. They're a lot better than you think.
Yeah, and I don't know what to do because I don't know how to get that smell out of my house. And we got smoke all around us, too, from California. And I think that smoke is making that stink stick to my house.
Oh, man.
That's the stink of the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. Well, hope you're doing good, too, man. Hope you're doing good, Lou, as well.
Well, I could do better if the Cowboys won.
Well, they didn't. They didn't win.
Tell me
about it.
You know, I got to say, you know, literally, I think I was listening to the show and Rob called it, you know, it's going to be a shootout, going to be high scoring. I think we all talked about that. And then next thing you know, it got a little crazy because, you know, again, we talked about it, Baker Mayfield is game management, and it just kept going. You're like, what's happening?
Right.
And then it got a little out of hand, as you guys know. And then It just seems like, again, they just could not stop the Browns, which is, you know, I don't know if it's a situation where, like you said, defense is that bad, or just, the Browns is, you know, it kind of looks kind of opposite, if you will, too, man. So I'll let kind of comment on that.
Oh, before,
if you want to have
Browns got a lot of talent, man.
Here's another thing, that's going to be a big blow to them, though. Yeah.
Well, here's another thing that Cowboy fans have seen.
We have seen.
We have seen Odell Beckham burn the hell out of us over the years a few times.
Yeah.
And we saw it again on Sunday. Odell Beckham
He might be known as the Cowboy Killer.
But he had two touchdown catches and a touchdown run.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, we've talked about this Browns team. We talked the last year they didn't step up for whatever reason. But, I mean, they got talent. When you look at Beckham, you look at Jarvis Landry. Now you got Austin Hooper in the mix. They got a 1-2 punch at running back. I mean, obviously they're going to lose Chubb, but Kareem Hunt going to be able to step up right in there. And their offensive line is much better, too. And this is a team right now that's really stepping up to the plate. I mean, they're 3-1, and they're a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. They're not a Super Bowl team, but, you know, they got a shot to make the playoffs finally.
Yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer, Benny Testaverde days, bringing it back,
but,
man.
But give Dak Prescott, I know we got a segment here if we get to it, a top five quarterbacks in the game, but the way Dak Prescott is playing, the Cowboys losing is certainly not his fault. He is having an incredible year. And I got him in my top five right now for so far this year, even though the team is 1-3. But he has been phenomenal. And if you got him on your fantasy football team, he has been lighting it up.
So why can't the other members of the team, make it happen? I mean, it's like Prescott's doing all the work and everybody else is like, you know, second rate.
I agree with Shannon Sharp. They're empty calories. When you watch him, when the game is on the line, he has some bad drives. And then when they get down and that defense they're playing against goes into that, you know, that don't be this deep kind of defense, he gets a lot of empty yards, you know, a lot of great fantasy point yards, don't get me wrong, but he gets a lot of yards with them trying to come back as opposed to when he has a chance to put them ahead and be in the game. He has some drives. You look at him like, that's not going to get it. Sacks, fumbles, picks. And you're like, come on, Dak. Yeah. Come on, buddy. You got to do it when the game is on the line. You can't do it every time when you're down 25 points. You got to do it when it's early in the first quarter, not late in the fourth.
Yeah. And think about Matt Ryan. I agree. Hey, we'll come back to that too. We're going to let Curtis and Gary lick their wounds, if you will. And let's talk about the Lakers. They had a good defense. They actually lead their series 3-1. And apparently I just got the text from ESPN that they're going to be wearing the Mamba uniforms and on Kobe. So that's definitely a sign that so they're probably going to, you know, win, the, you know, obviously. If you will. Felt like Jimmy Butler kind of gave his all, and he's kind of lit near the end. Bam kind of came back, but just it wasn't enough, man. I was definitely impressed with Hero and looking at that. They just have enough right now. Dragan is out. It's kind of tough for them right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the Lakers when they're playing their best and they're engaged on defense and they're rotating their switch and they just aren't doing the old late defense, letting people go by them and hedging hard off the screens and making, you know, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero get that jump shot up a lot quicker than they want to, and you get into the airspace and say, okay, you know, especially Dr. Robinson, he's not going to really drive past you. You can recover with all the length that the Lakers have, but you've got to stay attached to Butler. You've got to stay attached to Hero because all he needs is about that much daylight, and he's shooting. He's in a full-blown microwave. But I was, you know, impressed by defensive effort, impressed by, you know, LeBron and AD. AD really did come to play in Game 3, and it showed up. And they tried to battle back, but he wasn't the AD that you saw in Game 2, where he just put the Lakers on his back in Game 2 for that whole third quarter and single-handedly just kept Miami at bay. So that's the best version of the Lakers. Maybe not the best. I think Game 1 was the best version of the Lakers where you get AD going, you get LeBron going, and then all the others start hitting three-pointers. When they play like that, you don't have a chance. But you can't depend on Green and Kuzma and Pope and Rondo to hit three-pointers the way they did in Game 1. So what you saw yesterday is probably more about the wheelhouse of what they're going to have to do. Lean on those two stars and get timely buckets from everybody else and just play that defense. They're so long. They're so big when they start Dwight, you know, at the five because AD won't play the five for whatever reason, you know. But he does for stretches in the game. When you have him, LeBron, and Dwight Howard at the 3, 4, and 5, and then you bring in KCP and Danny Green to start that game, that is a really big, long, physical team. They are just giving Miami nightmares with that win. So when they stay engaged defensively like that, that's who they can be. I love them for them to win in the Mamba uniforms, but I feel like they are tipped in fate because they haven't lost yet in those Mamba uniforms. And I know they want to clinch it in it on Game 5, but it's like, please don't break them out and go out there and give me no lackluster effort and make it go to a Game 6. But, I hope they go ahead and finish it off in Game 5. But if they play like that, series over.
Yeah, the defense is their calling card, and it's been their calling call all year, and it's been their calling call in the playoffs as well. And because they don't have many scorers outside of LeBron and AD, so they have to get it done on the defensive end. And you, just as JQ said, Dwight Howard's been getting it done. I actually think they play their best offensively when the ball is in Rondo's hands, and they can utilize LeBron a lot more. They can utilize him as a wing. They can utilize him in the post, and he can beat teams with the double team in the post with his passing and his vision too. And I think they are a whole lot better when he's in the game running the show, and they can utilize LeBron's versatility a little bit more too. And so that's something for Frank Vogel. I know LeBron likes to have the ball in his hand, and he's had to do that until Rondo came back. But that's just another dimension for their ball club. Having Rondo run the show, it frees LeBron up to do so much more. It frees him up to be better on the defensive end, and it frees him up to be more flexible on the offensive end too.
Good point.
Well, you know, with bringing in Dwight at the center position, with the way he can play around the rim, you know, and the way he bothers other centers, you know, with just sometimes with his antics, whatever. But he's a good. He's still got enough hop. You know, with a big body in there, and he can still, you know, get the close. He gets those rebounds. He doesn't try and be like a lot of these other centers do in this league at this stage in this era of basketball. He throws it down. So when he's close enough and he gets the rebound, he's going to try and dunk it on your ass. So with that, and then Rondo, so many people, you know, on these different podcasts and stuff, talk about Rondo, and they're so surprised. I'm never surprised about Rondo in the playoffs because he's just a playoff basketball player. He's one of those guys that steps up, whatever his field goal percentage is, whatever he does in regular season, that's off the table because he just plays smart basketball. He gets everybody involved, and he's that guy that when you need those spot-up shots from those other, you know, players on the Laker teams, Kuzma or whoever's shooting it, who's that little white guy with the
Caruso.
Yeah. I mean, he sets those guys up just absolutely perfect. Pulls everything away from them. They get a wide open shot, and to their credit, you know, they're hitting them. So I think it's the series is over. I think the Lakers are going to go out and they're going to put the gas on, and it's just going to be – it's done, in my opinion.
Game?
I don't think it's going to be close next game.
I think the Heat put up a fight. I think the Lakers close it out on Friday night, but the Heat is one of these teams that's going to compete. And so I look forward to be somewhat similar to last night, somewhere between a 5 to 8 point victory. But I think the Heat is going to compete in the ball game. I mean, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, with them shooting the basketball. I look for them to still keep the game really close. I mean, you got a quality veteran in Andre Iguodala. They're going to go out there and compete and keep the game really close, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing that Gary didn't mention is Rondo's defense and his hustle. And he's hustling. And what I've noticed is LeBron's focus. LeBron is focused, and he might, this would be number four for LeBron, and he might have caught a break. You know, there's some stats that he is approaching that are going to be unmatchable. And he is focused, and he's not playing. And you see some real leadership out of LeBron. This is his stance, and he's going to take it.
And, well, what I said, Rob, I'm going to talk a little bit about what you said. You think it's going to be close. The reason why I don't think it's going to be is because they've been disappointed. And disappointed. There's a time when, you know, somewhere in that mid-third quarter when they've been keeping it close but just not quite there, and then it's LeBron and Anthony Davis's time, to just make that separation and get that first ring for AD, get that fourth one for LeBron, and they're just going to put the hammer down on these guys, and Butler and crew are not going to have answers for them. I see a 12, 13, 14-point victory for the Lakers in this one. I'll be surprised if it's not.
Gotcha. What'd you say, Lou?
No, I'm agreeing with you. But I don't know.
Nice.
But I'm not so sure that the Lakers are going to, you know, I think Miami still might have, you know, some fight left in them. I mean, they came back, you know, on Sunday. I thought maybe that's going to be, you know, chance to get back in the series. I don't think it's over just yet.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope
they
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope they win the series.
Look at JQ. Hey, so gentlemen, we were all a little off this weekend. But I will say, let's talk about the Patriots Chiefs game. And I think again it's interesting because literally we had some different thoughts before we found out what had happened to Cam Newton. And I think I called it that it was going to be, you know, that Bill Belichick was going to divide the defense. It did slow down Patrick Mahomes. But then again, just the talented quarterback was not enough. Brian Hoyer doing some dumb stuff. Jarrett Stidham coming in doing some dumb stuff. But they did keep it close up, and then eventually we knew that the Chiefs were going to kind of break away, which is definitely what happened because they've been confused for so long. So, do you think that New England would have won or would have beat the Chiefs if Cam Newton would have played? The score around the room, JQ, Rob, Church, Gary, and then Lou. Go ahead.
That's possible, but I also feel like sometimes, you know, you look over and you can say that, you know, Bill Belichick, he did a good job. You know, he is who he is defensively of limiting with the Chiefs. The Chiefs left some points on the board out there, kicking field goals instead of touchdowns. But also, when you look over and you know Cam is not playing, you have a bit of a letdown. And sometimes you play down to your competition, the same way I think they play down to the Chargers when they were, you know, like, you know, Ty Russell's playing this, the rookie Herbert comes in, and you're like, okay, yeah, we got this. And then you look up in the third quarter and you don't. You're like, oh, snap. I really think feel like that's what happened. You know, like you see Mahomes play against Lamar Jackson, and you see how amped up they came in, like, yeah, we're playing Baltimore. We know we're going to have this game for home field advantage. That level of intensity is this high up here. When you come in and you look across and you see Stidham and Brian Hoyer, you're like, oh, man, we got this. So I'm not going to say that they would have won the game. I just feel like they had a letdown game. It's hard to play at this level every single week, especially when you're nicked up or bruised and you don't see Cam Newton over there. So I'm still going to go with the Chiefs until I see somebody do it. I just think they had a letdown game knowing Cam wasn't going to be out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Chiefs would have still won the game even if Cam Newton had played. I think the game could have been closer, absolutely, and a little bit more competitive. If you look at that game, I mean, Bill Belichick had a masterful game plan for the Patriots on the defensive end, but they just couldn't get anything offensively going with Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. And I guess anybody that thought Stidham would beat out Cam Newton, we see why that's not even close. But I think the game could have been a little bit more competitive, but I would have still expected the Chiefs to come out and win. And to JQ's point, you know, a lot of times teams do play down to the competition when somebody's best player is not playing. Sometimes you take them lightly, take them for granted. But I do think it could have been under a 10-point game if you would have played.
You know, I don't trust that. I don't trust the Patriots to save my life. And I don't trust them any kind of way. But like Rob
That's
said.
That's your favorite team, Gary. You mean Kurt?
No, it's not. And you know what I did see? I saw that Robert Kraft got all the charges dropped in Florida on his smart house.
He did.
Oh,
I don't trust you guys to save my life. Yeah, he got all the charges dropped in Florida. I don't know how, but I guess it's money.
That's why.
Yeah.
Well, that's not all he dropped. But anyway, go ahead, guys.
Oh my gosh, Lou. Sorry. He's like, I'm sorry. Wow. That's just crazy. All right, gentlemen. Yes, vote, vote, vote. I love the fact that Gary and Curtis are definitely encouraging that. That's something that we definitely want to keep the drum,
look up, thank you.
You know, banging for sure. Yeah, that's what's up. There it is.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Hey, so we're going to talk about the top five teams in the NFL, and then we're going to jump into things. I do want to talk about the Redskins benching your boy, Dwayne Haskins, Rob. Or, I'm sorry, JQ. So I want to get your thoughts about that as well. But, yeah, so we're going to talk about the top five teams in the NFL right now. Rob, I'll let you kind of take that as well, and then we'll go back around. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go with the Seahawks number one right now. I mean, the way Russell Wilson is playing right now, he's playing like the league MVP. I know they gave up 23 points to Miami, but, you know, if you've been paying attention to that Miami team, Brian Flores has been having them really competitive. And so I'm not going to read. That's the longest continental United States flight right now, Seattle to Miami. And they had to travel cross-country and still, you know, were able to get that, that win. And I like them right now for what they're doing. Obviously, Jamal Adams is going to miss another week, but when they get him back to go along with that defense, I expect them to be better on that side of the ball too. So I like Seattle. Number two, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's, you know, we've talked about this on the show last two, three, 4 years. He has not been Aaron Rodgers of old, but right now he looks back to being the top three quarterback in the game the way he's playing. He's accurate with the football. He's mobile. He's getting it downfield. The team is winning. I like the Packers right now for the number two spot. Number three, the Chiefs, of course. And, you know, they've had the Patriots play them tough. The Chargers play them tough. But they've also had some really impressive wins over the Texans. And then, of course, going on the road and beat Baltimore, too, this year. And then their talent level is just insane right now, especially on the offensive end when you look at all the weapons that they have. At the wide receiver, tight end, running back position. Offensive line might be a little worry. Not as good as the last couple of years. And, of course, they had a player to opt out the season. But I think overall, then you look at the defensive talent that they had. Of course, LSU, Tyrann Mathieu, and on that ball club. And, you know, you got the pick six the other day as well. So they have some players on the defensive end. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. You know, we haven't seen them rank this high in a long time. But you got to be impressed. Josh Allen is really stepping up into that top echelon of quarterbacks. When you look at the way he's throwing the football accurately, mobile, getting touchdowns, running the football, their defense is insanely good. Allen's got a few more weapons on the offensive end as well, getting better play from the O-line. They're a legitimate team right now. And we're probably going to have a team for the first time to throw New England in the AFC East for the first time since, what, 2000? Seems like it anyway. And
yeah.
And number five was a little bit of a surprise because I thought they would be a little down this year. But Mike Tomlin has done a phenomenal job, and that Steelers defense is playing outstanding. And they have a few more weapons on offense than I thought they would have. You know, of course, Juju, Deontay Johnson, and then Chase Claypool, the rookie from Notre Dame, has been outstanding for them as well. So I know JQ's favorite team is really playing well. And you got to give them a lot of credit right now.
I don't got to give them shit.
Yeah.
And my tongue. I'm not for nothing. Myself. All right.
I know Gary Kurt is a Cowboy. I mean, Steelers fans, too.
That's a Tampa Bay fan.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, y'all started with me earlier.
Okay. Hey, I'm not saying that, no mind. All right. Number one, I mean, they're the reigning Super Bowl champs. They're 4-0. You got to go with the Chiefs number one. Patrick Mahomes is still playing at a very high level. That defense is actually playing a lot better than I thought it would play. Chris Jones, the defensive end, is helping out their game record a little bit. And that's another thing. He was hurting that game versus New England. It might have even been worse if he had played that game. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs number one. You got him at four. At this point, I got to put him at two. That Buffalo Bills team has a good defense. Josh Allen, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, you got me ready to say it, would probably be your, you know, front runner for the MVP. I'll put Buffalo ahead of Seattle because the Buffalo defense is better than the Seattle defense. That Seattle Legion of Boom defense no longer exists. So I'm going to give you a homeboy. Where's Xavier White go to school, Rob?
Or what was that?
I said, where did your debut fly go to school?
LSU, baby.
There you go. I got to go with that Buffalo defense and Josh Allen. Easy on that. Number two. Number three, I'm going to go with Seattle because the only reason why I have him number three is because of that defense. But Russell Wilson has just been playing flat out of his mind this season. They finally, like I said, let Russ cook. He has put that team on his back. They're 4-0. Like Rob said, that's a long trip to Miami.
No, Adam's
And you take them a little bit for granted again, and they come out and hit you in the mouth a little bit. You say, oh, Scott, we got a football game, and you got to respond. Four of the Packers were Aaron Rodgers. We all dumped dirt on the Packers on draft night about they didn't get any no wide receivers. They got another quarterback. They got a backup running back. What are they doing? He is out there getting it done with Devontae Adams hurt these past two games and just slicing people up. And he lost Alan Lazard as well. So you gotta give him a whole lot of credit for what he's doing. And then number five, I'm not giving him number five. I just got a top four. So I refuse to speak about that team. Rob already talked about it. I guess you got to put them number five. They're undefeated, but that's it for me.
Be effective, man.
Like,
put them, go ahead and talk
tastes
about
like,
the deal.
Tastes like dirt coming out of my mouth.
Well, you definitely have to put the champs in the number one spot. But in second, I definitely would put Seattle there. And just because of Russell Wilson. Just because he's that guy that
right.
If you need that one drive or that one play, he's going to get it. You know, he's going to get it. I definitely would put the Bills at three. Would you put it four, Curtis?
Well, one of the things I don't know if the Bills are going to win that division. If Cam is healthy.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win that division.
If Cam is healthy, they may not win that division.
I don't know. Those are my top three. The rest of them, you know.
Well, I'll
go with the Cowboys and the –
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was going to say the Cowboys, too.
I'll go with the Cowboys and then the Giants. There, you got one. I helped you out there.
I still think Baltimore needs to be in that top five somewhere.
I agree. The Chiefs, I got the Chiefs.
They're the defending champ. And I'm not putting the Bills over Baltimore, and I'm not putting Pittsburgh over Baltimore. I don't think Pittsburgh or the Bills are going to beat Baltimore. I really don't.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Lou, you got anything to add to that?
I'll say one thing, though. I mean, the loss of Cleveland really, you know, kind of hurt us. But I think we can bounce back this week against the Giants. I mean, the Giants are going nowhere. So we can, so that's,
the Cowboys.
That should be a given.
Nice. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of like – I kind of started – I like where you're going, JQ. Gary, you got to have the defending champs, number one. I definitely like Seattle, number two. Baltimore's three. I'm going to go with, again, Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay at number four, and then you got to wrap it up with the Bills at number five, too. And it's tough because, like, you know, just seeing Green Bay, you know, again, offensively, and we talk about the Danica Patrick effect, her not being there has definitely changed Aaron Rodgers. I know we made jokes about that, but I got an inside source that talked about how bad she was for Aaron Rodgers, and he's a renewed man minus Danica Patrick. I know it sounds crazy, but that is the truth, straight up from the grapevine, if you will. JQ doesn't agree with me. I know he's rolling his eyes over there, but it's all good. Hey, JQ, man, what's going on with your boy, man? What's going on with Dwayne Haskins, man? Why is he getting benched, man?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you get a new staff in and they got a quarterback that wasn't their guy, and he brought in Kyle Allen with him from Carolina. And a part of that is also on Haskins. He, you know, I think it's something to do that after the Baltimore game because not many quarterbacks have good weeks against that Baltimore defense. But he, honestly, if I'm being objective, he's a Buckeye and I love him to death, but he hasn't progressed like he should progress as a number one, you know, where you go 13th in the first round. You got high hopes for that guy. And outside of Terry McLaurin, he locks in on him and he just has not developed the way he should develop. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. Maybe he needs his bench to be a wake-up call. I think you'll find out that Kyle Allen's not that dude in a couple weeks. And I just worry about putting Alex Smith in any game after what happened to him. I really do. I worry about him just for his long-term health, just for him as a man, even not, you know, in terms of football. Because they dropped him down to the third spot. And I think a lot of that is just that, hey, you came in here thinking you're presumptive and we're going to stay with you and let you do anything. And that's just simply not the case. It's sad for me. You know, I wanted to see him do well, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And he just, you know, you're watching all these other young quarterbacks take steps and take leaps, and he kind of still seems to be running in mud. So if you're the Redskins, what else do you do? You got to figure something out.
Yeah. If you're Ron Rivera, you got to look at that division right now, the NFC East. I mean, right now the Philadelphia Eagles are in first place at 1-2-1, and the Redskins are 1-3, and the Cowboys are 1-3, and the Giants are 0-4. So if you really look at that right now, they're only half game out of first place. So what Ron Rivera is thinking, hey, let's see what we can do. We might have a chance to stay in contention for this division. If you really have watched the Redskins play so far, I keep calling them the Redskins. They're the football team, the Washington football team. And the Washington football team, if you really have watched them play so far this year, they're pretty good on defense. They have a team that's got some, you know, Chase Young, Kerrigan. They got some pass rushers out there. They got some pretty good players on their defense. If they can just get something going offensively, and even when they lost that game to Cleveland, and they turned the ball over 5 times. Cleveland barely had 200-some yards of offense in that game. Cleveland won the game because the football team turned the ball over 5 times in that game. And I think, I want to say Haskins was responsible for all 5 of them in some form or fashion. And so if you can get some kind of Kyle Allen to play ball control offense, take care of the football, in that division they have a shot. And like I said, if you've seen them play, that defense is pretty good. It's pretty good. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to win. I still think the Cowboys are the most talented team in that division and should win that division. But, you know, the football team has a chance, and Ron Rivera had to make that move when he's looking at the rest of the division.
What do you expect from the guy that's called Riverboat?
Now, I hate it for Dwayne Haskins, but if you're Ron Rivera, he's got to see if we have a chance at winning this division.
The division is too weak.
You're right. The division is by far the weakest, and maybe, you know, at that historical level weak. I mean, you may have a division winner there with 6 wins or something, you know, as it looks right now. I mean, unfortunately, that's where we're standing with that division. So if you got an opportunity to try and shake something up and you're tied, you know, you're tied for second in the division with 1 win, absolutely take that chance.
Pathetic.
You know, because anything can happen after that. But, you know, the guy that that I think has really played phenomenal football is Herbert. He's throwing the ball. And what I said last year when he was in college is, you know, you had a lot of these quarterbacks from the Southeastern Conference, you know, specifically with LSU, where you had, you know, your whole wide receiver core basically are NFL talent. You know, Herbert didn't
Justin
have
Jefferson
that.
Justin Jefferson bottled his ass off in Minnesota, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's playing well. And that was a fantastic game between San Diego and Tampa Bay this last week. And that was a great game. I loved watching him ball, you know. And he threw that pick at the end. But, man, I was really impressed with that guy. He threw it deep.
He did play well.
He was short and smart. Yeah.
That fumble at the end of the first half, right on the goal line, really cost the Chargers. It really got Tampa Bay back in that game. The Chargers had opportunity to win that football game. Really did.
Yeah, that was good. But Dwayne Haskins, I'm kind of seeing the same thing with that Jameis Winston in this guy. And maybe early benching him, hopefully, will be a wake-up call for this guy. I think he wants to be an NFL quarterback. He looks like, and Jameis fooled me too. Both those guys look like they're NFL quarterbacks. But what we may be looking, and out of Jameis and out of Haskins, we might be seeing why some guys cannot be NFL quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
yeah.
You got to be talented to be an NFL quarterback, and they may not have the talent.
Yep. Well, I think they have the talent. You know, I don't think there's any questions about Haskins and James Winston's talent. It's some of their decision making is where they have to get it at. You know, but I think they do have the talent. And quite frankly, I don't even think Haskins has been as good as James Winston. I think Winston has put up some better numbers, and I don't even think Haskins is even played as good as Winston has. And that's just how bad he's been so far.
Wow. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say really quickly, comment on both Justin Herbert and Dwayne Haskins. And, Gary, you are 1,000% accurate watching that game between the Buccaneers and the Chargers had their quarterback. You know, again, you have got that position. You could already see his talent at a young age. The Buccaneers sent a zero blitz. He threw an amazing throw, just a great touchdown. So watching that, like I said, you could see the progression right there. And just to kind of talk about that, JQ, what you said earlier about Dwayne Haskins, I agree 100%. You know, you see the other young quarterbacks, they're progressing. He's kind of stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I don't think he had the skill set. He's not very mobile. He's not kind of an elusive guy. He's kind of like, I'm going to sit back and drop and make passes. So he's not in the same category as a Mahomes that's able to move and shift around. And he's not quite there. He's not like a gunslinger just yet either, like a Herbert yet too. So it's kind of interesting to see him kind of like, again, what's his talent? Can he be developed? Is this his ceiling? And like Rob said, you know, Jameis is better at him at this point. Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater, but then, you know, see what he is. Is he the guy, or is he just, you know, again, just, you know, just going to be an average quarterback, is, I guess, the question. So we'll see. JQ is keeping
I think they're both going to be great at holding the clipboard.
The straight face.
I get that.
Somebody's got to hold it.
I think I get that. Holding the clipboard. I think I got that.
Okay. Did we get a chance to just like I said, I think about this because I really hope that, you know, Deshaun Watson is going to get a chance to get developed, man. Cause just another talented quarterback. So that's a little side note too. But I really hope that they find a good coach for him, because I'm a huge fan of Deshaun, man. So hopefully they find a good quarterback coach for him, if you will. Rob, you want this fantasy shout out here?
Yeah. Let me pull up my notes here. Fantasy shout out for the week. All right.
Rough week.
That's good to
Mark it. Andrews is on the bench.
All right.
For me, man.
Fantasy shout out. Let's start with league number one. My high school classmate, Corey Angeletti, Gentilly Hot Sauces, had the biggest win of the week in league number one. Corey lives in Atlanta now. 197.50 to 111.22 victory over Purple and Gold Patrol. And Irv in Atlanta is in first place in league number one. Big, fast, and strong with a 3-1 record. League number two. KidCav23, Kevin from New Orleans, had the biggest win of the week over EP Diablos, 187.06 to 99.50. My team, Black Lives Matters, 3-1, is holding down first place. League number three, JQ's team, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 135.28 to the Kings team, 89.54. And Rick and Austin, his team, Pelican Fly, is 3-1, holding down first place. All right, league number four. Andre's team at the biggest win of the week. Andre's BLM team beat my team, Flash Forward, 143.72 to 99-something. My team still holding down first place, Flash Forward, with a 3-1 record. Andre Sutter gave me my first loss in the
league.
That's
what BLM stands for, Rob. Black Lives Matter, man, if you want to know, man.
I know.
That's what that stands for. Okay. Just making sure you say that, man. Go ahead.
We rebounded. We 2-2 in all three leagues. I mean, we rebounded. We got our way back.
So it said
there you go.
Got to
keep fighting.
Gotta keep fighting.
Season.
Well, that one league, I got the most points in the league, and I was 0-2 at one point. That's just how ridiculous that one was going.
Uh-huh. We used to have the league where the top number of points, at least we switched it from going from a head-to-head to just like the points only. So we figured it was more fun to have a head-to-head, man. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
It's all good.
That's just one of those anomalies that happens. It won't last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Wow. You got one more? Is that the last of them?
No, that was it. Mm-hmm. That was
okay,
all
cool.
Poorly.
All right. Good deal. 50 minutes, man. We're making good time here, guys. All right, let's do these NFL predictions here. We got some games coming up. Thursday night, we got the Buccaneers at the Bears. Tough game for Tampa Bay. And I guess we're going to talk about is Tom Brady proving his doubters wrong. So let's talk about this game here. Rob, get it off, man. Talk about this first game, first prediction, if you will.
Well, he was obviously impressive this past week, you know, throwing 5 touchdown passes against the Chargers. You know, he did have a pick 6 in the game, but he really bounced back. And, you know, I've always hated picking the road teams in these Thursday night games, but, hey, look at the last 2 weeks, the road teams have won. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and go with the Bears. I'm going to pick the Bears at home with their defense. In a really close
right.
football game, I'm going to go 24-21 field goal win by the Bears. I'm going to go with the home team again on Thursday night, even though the road team won the last 2 weeks.
Come on, man. Did you watch any of that Chicago-Indianapolis game? Because if you did, Nick Foles did not look good at all. And I know that Indianapolis defense is a lot better than people really want to give it credit for. It's shocking that you talk about the Indianapolis defense, but, you know, Nick Foles going back against the Falcons is not the same as playing against the Bucs. They're going to put a lot of pressure on them offensively, and it's going to force them to do a little bit more than he can try to do right now with that squad around him, especially without Cohen, and you don't really get Anthony Miller showing up on a regular basis. Can't go against Tampa Bay against the Bears. I just don't think the Bears can score enough points. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
I'm definitely going with Tampa Bay on this one. I think that if there is a quarterback, I watched him last week against San Diego. There's a guy that can come back. Man, he's just proven it over and over again. I am going with Tampa Bay in this, and so far Brady's proven him wrong.
Well, you know, because Nick Foles did my favorite thing in the world in the Super Bowl, I can't not discourage him, but that's a big but. Let me show you guys my butt.
Easy.
Not that kind of party.
Because I think Nick Foles in this game, and I'm gonna be watching Nick Foles. He might be showing you his. Like he said, last week he stunk up the place. Not as bad as the Cowboys, but pretty bad. And if he looks not as good as he did last week in this game, it's going to break my heart because I'm a Nick Foles fan. I love what he did.
Uh-oh. And I think Brady remembers that too, so.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I think that's
a little fuel on the fire there.
Definitely, he's going to be trying to get some payback in for sure. What say you about that, Lou?
I got to go with the Bears.
Bears.
You know, they're making the right moves. I mean, you weren't going to do anything with Jabersky. They took him out and Foles again, so they made the right move. I think they're going to continue, so I'm going to go with the Bears.
Nice. Trubisky doing this is not going to do anything. Hey, guys, let's talk about the next game here. Really good. So we were, again, talking about commenting on the Bills. You know, we've got them. Some of them have them right high. Now they're going against the Titans, if you will. So Titans, you know, again, they're going to be depleted because of some things with COVID. So what say you about this one? Let's go back. Let's go reverse it, man. Go ahead, Gary. Gary Curtis, you got started off.
Well, I'm definitely going with the Bills in this one. I think they're a better team all around. I don't think it's going to – I'm going to go with a Bills victory, 27-17 Bills.
Well, the question is, the Titans have had a whole bunch of adversity or distraction, yeah, because of what they've been through on this corona thing. So I'm thinking, I don't know where their brain is going to be. I don't know where the Titans, where that team is going to be, where their focus is going to be. So I'm picking the Bills also, and it's not because I think the Bills are better. I just think the Titans have been through a whole bunch of distractions that their focus is not going to be good for this football game.
Gotcha.
I'll take the Bills 27-20.
Okay. Low scoring here. Rob?
I'm going to go with the Bills, too. I think they're the better football team. And first of all, I wouldn't even know if this game is going to be played this weekend, to be totally honest with you. When you look at the Titans situation, they're still having some positive COVID tests here. And so it's – I mean, the game is up in the air. But I think even if it is played, I'm going to go with the Bills because you just wonder what kind of preparation the Titans have been able to put together. From a practice standpoint, with the facilities being closed and still having positive tests and things of that nature. So that would be a concern for the Titans from a preparation standpoint. But and plus, I still think the Bills, are, the way they're playing right now, is just Josh Allen, you're seeing the way he's progression. He's gotten better. It seems like every time he goes out there on the field, his Buffalo defense is for real. He's even got better weapons on offense, too. I like the Bills on the road here.
Yeah, I put them in my two spot, so I can't go away from them right now. I would go touch on that if they're going to play the game at all. But, yeah, I think a lot of times you see with the Titans, they do a lot of it with smoke and mirrors. I just don't ever trust them. I've been saying it for 3 years. I just don't trust Ryan Tannehill as far as I could throw him. And then that Titans defense, you know, they just have taken a step back. They used to play a better brand of defense under Mike Vrabel, but that defense, you know, they lost some key dudes in the offseason. They haven't been able to replace them yet. And Buffalo can run the ball with Josh Allen and with Devin Singletary. Not quite sure if the rookie's going to be back. But between those two running the ball, and then you got, you know, John Brown out there. And I also forgot, dude they got from Minnesota as well. Like, they can go deep on you in a heartbeat with that play-action pass. So I'm going to go with Buffalo. That offense is a lot better than people give it credit for, and that defense has been as advertised as it was last year. Diggs, Stephon Diggs,
I'm going
with.
I'm going blowout by the Bills. We're going to blow them out, man. Blowout. All right, let's keep this moving here. Colts at the surprising Cleveland Browns. Lou, I'm sorry, what do you say about this one, too? Bills, Titans?
Bills.
Lou?
Yes.
Bills, nice.
Yes.
But Lou, start you off, man. Eagles, I'm sorry, what did I say? Colts at the, I skipped over that. We'll go back to that. Colts at the Browns. Lou, you start that off.
Colts versus Browns. I don't think the Browns are going two in a row. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I'm also going to go with the Colts. I just touched on it. That Colts defense is actually very, very good. And I think you're going to have Cleveland hearing how great they were and how they ended up on Dallas. And Cleveland is back. And yada, yada, yada. They finally do what they can do. And they're going to play a team that will be able to smack them in the mouth defensively. And put some pressure on Baker Mayfield. And if Mike Baker throws the ball where he just can, you know, give it to Kareem Hunt and keep doing that, I like that Indianapolis defense. You know, I think they can carry him. I know, you know, Phillip Rivers and his pop gun arm is a little bit of a liability, but I think that Colts defense is strong enough to keep them in the game. And I think they have ability to upset the Browns. I think the Browns are going to be flying way too high still off of last week, and they're going to get a team that's a really physical team that's going to punch them in the mouth. So I'm with you, Will. I'm going Colts.
I agree. Rob?
I think it's going to be a really good football game, too, one of the better games of the weekend here. And you're right, this Coast defense is for real. I mean, they got playmakers on every level of that defense. But Miles Garrett rushing Phillip Rivers is going to be a nightmare for the Coach. And
Coach got the offensive line, though.
Yeah. But Miles Garrett rushing Phillip Rivers is going to be turnovers made to happen. And that's how the Browns will win. I think we're looking at a close football game here. I'm going to go 21-17 Browns at home. They get enough offense in this game. Hunt is enough, even though you're going to miss Nick Chubb. I think he gets it done catching it out of the backfield. He gets it done running between the tackles with his physicality as well. They get it done. Miles Garrett is going to be a nightmare for Phillip Rivers.
Well, who's more of a liability? Phillip Rivers against the Browns defense or Baker Mayfield against the Colts defense? I think it's Baker Mayfield against the Colts defense myself. I think Phillip Rivers will make just enough plays, and I think the Colts win it.
I don't trust Phillip Rivers.
But you trust Baker Mayfield.
I don't trust him either, but I just think and it's going to be, keep your mouth open, because then – the Browns are going to be 4-1. Oh my God! When was the last time the Browns was 4-1? And I'm picking the Browns. I think it's going to be a field goal. So I think it's going to be like a 31-28 football game. And what I think the Browns have figured out that I don't think the Cowboys have, the Browns have figured out who they are. I think they have this year have figured out what kind of team, who they are. And that's what the Cowboys have not figured out. They don't know who they are.
By keeping Baker Mayfield as a game manager and not trying to be a gunslinger, the team is playing better, and they have found their identity. It's just not going to be
I would enough. Agree with
And the Browns are letting their playmakers make plays. And I don't trust Baker Mayfield, but one thing I do trust is Miles Garrett is going to be in Phillip Rivers' ass.
Yeah.
That
Brown defense is going to make that man make some mistakes.
Hey, Rob, you're a station manager now. You've got to talk with dignity.
Hey, what we talk about on the show stays on the show, right, Gary?
No, Rob. You're a podcaster right now.
Yeah, thank you, Curtis.
Station manager stuff out. But
I'm still going to remember.
Station manager, give us a place because we're all coming down on Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to be down on Sunday. I'll bring the food, too. But we're coming now.
Why don't we just buy it when we get there?
Yeah.
I was going to say, similar to what Jake said, at 11:02 or 12:02.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun at the Super Bowl this year, you guys.
Yeah.
Go get
them
all.
They love their flounder down in Florida.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun.
I'll bring my motor home down and we'll do a tailgate. Yeah, baby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think y'all recognize the music. That ends the live portion of our show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in from Portland, from Houston, from Atlanta, and across the world. We thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We're going to be back on the air live on next Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our listeners in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. for you all. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. So click on the same link for the rest of the week, and you'll get the rest of the show. We still got some more football to get to, NFL, as well as college football, and as well as a little Major League Baseball as well in our OT portion. So you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Hey, one time for Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate keeping it way too real after that game. Oh, you go cheat on my sister and get her pregnant, then leave her? down. Oh, I loved it. Don't get him going, Tate. I hope he's seeing every time he got fighting every time he sees. That was fantastic. I loved it. Good night, y'all.
JQ is a nut. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. You can't make stuff like that up.
I mean, that's real life stuff. Like, you know, I'm messing with my sister, and I'm going to see you, and I'm just going to let that ride. Hey, no, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's real talk. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball here before we get to the last prediction here. Let's talk about the last prediction, and I saved it the best for last because it's two of the favorite teams, the Eagles at the Steelers. And really quickly, Carson Wentz, I know he was about this close to being like the most hated man in Philadelphia, but he somehow miraculously got that win and saved his job, man. But yeah, I know, right? They were like, this dude is not the man. You talk about somebody that just that was crazy. Good win for the Eagles and their 43 replacement players last year. But what say you about this particular game? It's at the Steelers. As Rob mentioned earlier, Steelers have been playing well. I know too much to JQ's chagrinment. But, you know, again, I think that ride is going to be over for Carson Wentz. One game streak, he's going to get beat by the Steelers. That's just me. I'm going to say 24-17 for me. But go ahead, Rob. What say you on this one?
Well, yeah, I definitely like the Steelers in this game as well. We talked about it already. They've had a bye week, so they've had 2 weeks to kind of get ready for this game. And I've talked about it. This Steelers team is better than what I thought they were going to be this year on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively. They've got some weapons to step up on the offensive side of the football. They're playing really good. And defensively, they're really stingy. I like the Steelers in this game, 27-17. I think a 10-point victory for JQ's favorite team. What are we talking about? JQ, man, you be talking about your Steelers and the Browns tonight.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of staying, man. I don't care if we win this damn game. I hope it ends in a 0-0 tie. Man, you talk about the injuries that Philadelphia has. Listen, I hope Jalen Hurts is in his playbook because he ain't got too much longer to be sitting on that bench with the way Carson Wentz is playing. I mean, I think the only reason why Carson Wentz is still playing is because they gave him that big old contract and he got to justify it. So they try to give him the longest leash possible. But he just does not look good at all back there behind center. And for that reason, I'm going to have to go with the Steelers reluctantly. And I think it's more than a 7-point game. If you let Mullins keep San Francisco close, what do you think Roethlisberger is going to do? I think this is about a 17-point Steelers victory.
Well, I think you're right on that. I think the Steelers, it's at Pittsburgh, isn't it? Yeah, okay. It wouldn't matter. But I think it does matter. I'll tell you why though. With Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia fan, he could be 3-1 if he loses the game. They boo your ass there. They're not forgiving fans at all. They hate your guts till the next time you win. So with that said, that's got to weigh on his mind because he's getting booed a lot, and they're wanting this young buck in there. And I think that the Steelers, the way they're playing, they're going to mop him up.
Well, I'm getting my resume together because they got the absolute wrong strength and conditioning coach in Philadelphia. I need to get over there and get me a job and teach me some young guys how to stay in some football shape. Because Philadelphia, it's looking like they absolutely don't have a clue on how to get their guys strength and condition. So I might as well give my shot, go ahead and run me a con and give me a job in Philadelphia being the strength and conditioning coach. They don't have a chance. And after, like Rob said, the Steelers are coming off a 2-week deal. The Eagles are in disarray because apparently I don't know if they've hired a strength and conditioning coach. And so they're bringing a bunch of deck chairs and wheelchairs in the And there you go.
The wheelchairs.
Yeah, that's deep right there, boy.
Wow. That's crazy.
Damn.
That's crazy.
Damn, Curtis.
Hey, guys. That's funny. Man, everything, it's going down. Hey, gentlemen, we're gonna switch gears here. We're gonna talk about some little Major League Baseball. And Gary, Rob, what about your Yankees here? You know, Yankees and Rays. Do a quick update about that.
Man, I tell you what, the Yankees. I know we was texting about this last night. After Garrett Cole, the Yankees just don't have any pitching. I mean, it's just awful. And I think we only beat the Rays once or twice in the regular season. It seemed like we played them about 15 times, and the Devil Rays were kicking our ass in the regular season too. And it's more the same so far in the playoffs. But Giancarlo Stanton, my goodness, he and Garrett Cole have been probably the only two bright spots for the Yankees. Stanton is hitting a home run in every game.
Yeah.
Five straight playoff games, he's hit a home run in every game. He has been incredible, but just not enough overall depth on the pitching staff of the Yankees, and it's really costing them. Obviously, we're down in the series 2-1, but just straight up got our ass kicked tonight, 8-4.
Well, and when you see you get guys on base and you get Chet up there, you're expecting something. This guy, he's not playing well. He's not hitting well. You know, he got an RBI the other night. But, I mean, he's just not doing what he needs to do. He's one of those guys in the whole postseason. When you get up there, man, you've got to jack that thing. You've got to get at least on base, move those runners, score some runs. Tampa is too strong of a team to get down. This team is really good. I'm really scared in this series. I mean, we've got our hands full. I don't know what the secret is on that, except, man, start playing small ball, start stealing some bases, try something to move those runners into scoring position, and then try and get some damn timely hits with these guys. Because the back end of your pitching staff is not going to hold up.
Yeah, you made some good points there, Gary. The Yankees left a lot of runners on base on game two yesterday. And that really cost them, you know, losing that one 7-5. They left a lot of runners on base.
Nice. Well, and when you're thinking about that, Rob, you're thinking that. And really, those runners were on base. And the timely thing of it was when, you know, a couple of times, and we had the heart of our order up there. We're ready to, you know, make something happen, and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was disheartening for me as a Yankee fan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good Starbucks on the route anymore.
Yeah.
The Yankees are a lot more fun. They were a lot more fun with George Steinbrenner.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's keep.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm expecting the cream of the crop to come out of these playoffs. I'm not sure who's going to come out in the American League, but I expect the Dodgers to be there.
Yeah, I mean, they're up on the Padres 6-4 right now, and you know, like I said, I'm gonna still keep holding on to the Braves, man. They again can talk about they have a nice 2-0 lead over the Marlins. Ian Anderson, the young guns of Atlanta, are actually surprising us. If you would have told me that Ian Anderson would have been the guy, he pitched 5 2/3 innings today, 8 strikeouts, just a really strong performance from him. And, you know, again, just, you know, we're doing just enough. And it's kind of scary because if you would have told me going to this season after losing Mike Soroka that the Braves would be where they are, you know, because I was really concerned about our pitching, you know, losing Cole Hamels. He was out. Mike Fulton-Evich not doing what he was supposed to do. Sean Newcomb, again, just kind of a head case. And for us to have, you know, Max Fried step up, then you have, you know, Ian Anderson, they called him up. Kyle Wright's getting his another start. He's been out for a while. So the future actually looks bright for us if they can close out the Marlins. Yes, we do know that we have the Dodgers supposedly on the other end of that, and Dodgers are a very scary, very dangerous team. We could be overmatched. But, you know, this does give me some hope that we can definitely do a little better. Ozuna's playing well. Again, getting enough hits. Travis Arnaud, you know, kind of a throwaway player,
with the Marlins and the Mets, and he's just been playing really well. Had another home run or had a good hit today. And so it's good to see the Braves on their thing, man. So I'm excited from that. What say you, JQ? What you got on that?
I don't care.
Tell us how you really feel, JQ.
I don't.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you a lot, man. Thought we were friends, man.
Oh,
I got,
man.
Hey, let's talk about this here. So, a little after, I definitely wanted to talk either. We obviously already did this. We can talk about the update on the Padres Dodgers. I don't care about you right now, JQ. Or we can kind of get some college football predictions here. So there's two things: Justin Fields versus Trey Lance. This is kind of your opportunity, JQ, to get you back engaged. And then let's get to some football predictions. I'm gonna wrap up the show. If you got out, I know. The Kimmy Mutombo's son, huge, picking Georgetown. By the way, good notes about that, too. But go ahead about that, JQ. We're going to talk about Justin Fields versus Trey Lance, you and Rob.
Yeah, well, you know, Trey Lance is the black Carson Wentz is really what it's coming down to. I mean, he coming from his school playing, you know, they're going to say, did you play top-level competition? You know, not as highly recruited as you would think he would be for as big as he is in the two sets that he has. And I believe he's just opted out, if I'm not mistaken wrong, Rob, to get ready for the draft. I think he played one game and then opted out. And then you got, you know, Justin Fields, I think, just has a bigger body of work right now, especially if the Big Ten gets off the ground and he gets another season under his belt. But, you know, I mean, that kid, Trey Lance, looks like he has all the physical tools. But I think you're going to have the same kind of question marks about Carson Wentz coming out because, again, I'm going to the same school and facing the same level of competition. Why didn't you get recruited to go to a bigger school? Are you playing as good a competition as a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields? Trey is bigger than Justin Fields is. I mean, he's a big dude.
Yeah, 6'4".
He's a big dude.
He opted out.
But Justin also has a lot more athleticism, and he's got a big enough arm to throw all the throws, you know, at the NFL level. So you got to look for him to, take that next step. This year and this condensed season, if you're talking about Justin Fields in the Big Ten, because everybody's looking at them as one of the favorites, especially with all the craziness that's gone on in the Big 12, that, you know, this is made for them to get back in and get one of those four playoff spots. So there's a lot of pressure on Justin Fields. And I sometimes question a little bit of Trey Lance coming out, but it is what it is. I think both of those guys go in the top 10. They may be in top 6 because we always know that quarterback's going to always artificially rise in the NFL draft because you got to have one to maybe be the face of your franchise. So for me, that's just truly what it is. Trey's going to have to be phenomenal. Whatever combine, if they have one, they have in his meetings with the GMs and whatnot. I just don't think we have enough on him quite yet. I think people have been exposed to Justin Fields, you know, first at Georgia and at Ohio State. So it's going to be an interesting debate. One is the prototypical size, like I said, in Trey Lance. The other one has done a little bit more on the field than Justin Fields. So it depends on what kind of flavor you want if you're a GM.
Yeah, definitely Justin Fields is ahead of Trey Lance right now. We're going into the draft as we speak today. The only quarterback that was ranked higher than Justin Fields is Trevor Lawrence. Justin Fields has the body of work, as JQ mentioned. And even from a standpoint of accurately throwing a football, he's miles ahead of Trey Lance in that area. Trey Lance has the physical tools, running the football, strong arm. He can throw it in tight windows, but he's got to get his accuracy together. And he's going to get highly drafted. He will be highly drafted as well. The interesting thing about Trey Lance, that his team, North Dakota State, that was the only fall game. They playing in the spring. And
yeah.
And that's the reason why he declared for the draft.
That's right.
As of now, the draft is still in the spring, and that was their only fall game. So, I mean, there's really nothing else for him to do but to declare for the draft because, I mean, why play in the spring? And that's when the draft is going to be. So he's going to need to spend his time focused on meeting with teams and going to combines as opposed to be getting ready for the season, to play a season in the spring. But he will be the third quarterback taken in the draft. And, the kid from BYU is rising right now. I know Brock Purdy from Iowa State, he's been a little up and down for me. I still got him somewhere in the third or fourth round. You know, he played well against Oklahoma, but he was horrible against the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And so I still like Trey Lance as the number three quarterback, but definitely Justin Fields is ahead of him because of his body of work, his mobility, and his accuracy, most importantly. I think that's the main thing that sets him apart from Trey Lance.
And, you know, the other piece you talked about, the accuracy, that's the same kind of knock that happened to Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming. Talked about how big he was, how fast his arm stretch, but his accuracy was not well. And they said that's one thing you generally can't teach in the pros. And quietly, Josh Allen has gotten more accurate in each of these couple of years in the NFL. So that's another comp I see for him, you know, level of competition. And like you said, Rob, those accuracy questions.
Talk about anything. I don't know why I'm reflecting on our podcast today, why I got to be part of a whole bunch of stinkiness and smelliness. But, you know, this is my history and this is my story. My mom and dad supposedly met at the West Texas State Fair in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, the West Texas State Fair is where the Oklahoma-Texas football game is being played this weekend. And both these teams are really stinky. And that's where my football focus is this weekend, because I think, as the story goes, I might have been conceived at this football game. And, man, this year, this stuff is stinky.
I didn't know this. I didn't know this.
I was like, Gary, what's happening over there? But I think you would have made it.
I think Lincoln Riley is pretty safe at Oklahoma, but I don't know about Herman in Texas. He just don't seem to be able to turn the corner just yet.
Giving them more time than they gave your boy, than they gave, oh, my God, he's at, oh, my God, who's my guy? I'm just losing his name. Oh, my God. Charlie Strong. Gave him more
Charlie
time
Strong.
Than they gave Charlie Strong, too. Man. Yeah, so that's messed up, man. So that's one of the conversations. Curtis, Gary, thank you for the chat. ATL sucks. Paul George sucks. That's hilarious. I'm going to let you guys literally have your last topics. We can go through the last predictions because we have – some college football to go through, and we can wrap up the show because this is number four Florida. We talked about the great quarterback there versus Texas A&M. Number 14 Tennessee at number three Georgia. We know who JQ is going for that one. And then Gary's Hurricanes, number seven Miami at number one Clemson. We talked about that earlier. We think that the Hurricanes are going to give the Clemson a fight, but Clemson's going to, you know, unless something crazy happens, they're going to overtake that one too. But you have your thoughts for these predictions, gentlemen. We'll go back around, and we'll go ahead and wrap up the show, if you will, too. So start it off, Rob.
All right. Looking at the predictions here, you know, I kind of already gave my answer on the Clemson-Miami game. I like Clemson 30-20 in that one. I think Miami does keep the game close and play them tough as well. Tennessee at Georgia. I think this game could be as closer than a lot of people think, too. Georgia's defense is extremely nasty. I don't like them. But I got to give them credit. They got a lot of NFL prospects on that defense, and they are ferocious. Tennessee is much improved. Got to get Jeremy Fowler a lot of credit. I think this game is going to be closer than Lee Corso would say, the experts say. I'm going to go 24-17, Georgia winning by a touchdown in that matchup. Florida, Texas A&M, when Florida and Georgia play, is going to be really interesting. Kyle Trask might be the best quarterback in the SEC against that Georgia defense. It's going to be a lot of fun. I like Florida on the road to come to Texas and get a win here. I'm going to go 38-24, two-touchdown win for Florida on the road. And just for –
he still hates Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. Tulane at Houston. Watch those Tulane Green Wave. They're going to come in here to Houston and get that win tomorrow night. 34-24,
10-point win. Hey, you and your homeboys be the only one watching that damn Tulane-Houston game on Thursday night. I'm with you on the other ones, and that was going to be my last piece. Man, listen, I want Tennessee to win, but I do not like Tennessee. That damn Rocky Top, can they get another song? Like, can they play another song outside of Rocky Top? Every time something happens, you hear, oh, Rocky Top. I hate that.
And they could be down 80 to nothing, and they still playing that song.
And they still playing Rocky Top. Them and Georgia with the same two songs. I'm like, oh, my God, if y'all don't find another song to play, I might just have to watch that game with the sound off. I promise you is my final thought here that when I was watching that Georgia-Auburn game, and what is it, God Look Down on Georgia, whatever the song it is they play every time something happens. I was texting my Georgia friends. I was like, I hate that damn song. I hate it about as much as I hate Rocky Top. And Erica walks in the door and starts watching the game with me. She was like, damn it, don't Georgia know another song? It's about as bad as goddamn Rocky Top. I was like, we've been together too long. Because I literally said that about 20 minutes ago in the text message to somebody else. I hate both of those songs, bro. So I'm watching that game with the sound off. But I'm with you, Rob. I think Georgia – I want Tennessee to win, but I think Georgia's going to win. That defense is just ridiculous. The only way I think Tennessee wins that game is if Georgia's quarterbacks, if they have to rotate quarterbacks, if they go and pull that foolishness they did against Arkansas in week one against Tennessee. But outside of that, I think that Georgia defense carries the day.
All right. The only game I care about is number 7, Miami at Clemson. The others I could give a shit about. Come on, Miami, do it. I don't think you're going to, but be respectful. Make it happen. Get a big upset. I'm going with the U, the upset. 31-27 U. Come on, who else has got a U there? Anybody else? Come on, anybody else with me? Anybody else with me? Come on. There we go. We got one. Yeah, oh, we got two.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey,
they know that's my second team.
Nice.
I know.
Good
I was
question.
Hoping.
Hey, we
got to
get the
Jerry turnover
chain.
You got to love Southeast Conference football. And I know this much. I've been watching Southeast Conference football for a long time. Like, every time I see Tennessee, it always takes me back to Condridge Holloway coming down that tunnel. Running all over everybody in the Southeast Conference. And, you know, I remember Cam Newton, what he did in the Southeast Conference. And now we got to remember what Joe Burrow did in the Southeast Conference.
How can we forget about what Joe Burrow did?
Well, I mean, he's just
Robert
related
every single day.
In some great things I've seen out of that Southeast Conference. And Tennessee has been part of some of the greatness that happens in the Southeast Conference. But I'm a Texan, and I'm thinking Florida may come to Texas and might take a Texas butt kicking. I would like to see that, because the other thing I'm going to see at the West Texas State Fair is going to be stinky.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Hey, again, let's wrap this up, man. I was going to say, if you guys want to talk about the last thing, the only thing we have left, we did a great job of getting through all the topics. Were the top prospects for the NFL draft next year, the top 5 QBs. If you want to mention Dikembe Mutombo, some pick George on that, so fine. And then that we can wrap up the show. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, you know, Patrick Ewing doing some recruiting at Georgetown. Dikembe Mutombo's son, Ryan, is a 4-star center right there out of the Atlanta area. He's in a running for a couple of 5-star recruits as well, so he's trying to get Georgetown basketball back up to prominence, so it's going to be really interesting. You know, it was also interesting that now that Mutombo's son is going to Georgetown, you know, Patrick Ewing's son went to Georgetown, Alonzo Mourning's son went to Georgetown, so all three of those big guys and their sons would have gone to Georgetown. So, you know, very interesting story. As far as top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, based on where they're playing right now, I have Russell Wilson. I'm trying to get his name right, trying not to say Westbrook. Russell Wilson is the number 1 quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, number 2. Aaron Rodgers, 3. Got Dak Prescott, number 4. And believe it or not, got Josh Allen at number 5 right now.
Wow.
I mean, number wise, you can't go wrong with that. You can mix them up. I mean, I think I might have put Allen a little bit higher up because he's just been with his legs. Some of it's always been pretty, you know, throwing the ball. But with his legs, he's been phenomenal. He's got, I think, like 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns already. So, yeah, I'm with you, though. I think that's a consistent top five. Maybe you sub Dak for Lamar, but Lamar stunk so bad against Kansas City. I think right now you're going to leave him outside of that top five. He needs a few more weeks of more solid play to get back into it. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm good. I just want to talk about Tennessee and Georgia. I already gave my piece, so you guys can go ahead.
Curtis, I don't have Dak in the top five. Not when you're 1-3. Sorry. I don't care if you throw for 500 yards. I don't care what you do. Maybe not even in the top 10.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It's Mahomes. It's Russell Wilson. It's Aaron Rodgers. I like watching that guy in Arizona. Because he makes my mouth open. Yeah, mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of amazing to see him play because it doesn't look like he should be in the NFL, but he is, and he's doing really well. And I'm going to pull for the rookie out of Oregon. I want to see him develop. Nice. I want to see him really become a leader and really become a really legit NFL quarterback. So that's the guys I'm looking at.
There it is. Appreciate that. Awesome. All right, Rob, let's go ahead and wrap up this night, man. Let's wrap up the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. On behalf of our crew here tonight, JQ, Gary, Curtis, Andre, and myself, we appreciate all of you all for tuning in yet again. We'll be back on the air live next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, we'd like to throw out our friends in Honolulu and Maui and Kona, you know, at 5 p.m. your time out there in Hawaii. Please tune in. Please tune in. The beaches are still closed out there, so tune in to the show on next Wednesday night, people. Good night.
Yeah, go hit that balloon festival in Albuquerque. Let's get it.
I forgot about that.
Hey, no, man, I appreciate it.
If you're on your way to that balloon festival, if you pull off the side of Route 66 there, there's the world's largest string you can also, you know, take some pictures by. It's fantastic.
Okay, so, yeah, y'all are wilding. I'm done. <Thank you. laughs>
Oh,
that's only, guys.
That's only 1,700 miles away. It's a short two-day drive.
Well, again,
we gotta
what
get
a great
culture
time.
To take you.
Looks like the Dodgers.
Here we go.
And the Dodgers just held on to win to beat the Padres 6-5, going 2-0.
So I was just going to comment. Yep.
Clayton
all right,
Kershaw
guys
got a playoff win, surprisingly. 2-0.
Wow, there it is. He's coming up. Again, gentlemen, have a great weekend. I know we're going to quit the jokes, man. We'll see if Dan Quinn gets fired. I'm hoping that happens one day. It'll be the joy of my life. But again, other than that, we'll keep it going. Again, have a great week. Keep those tweets going, and we'll see how it plays out. All right? Gentlemen,
have a fantastic week.
And go out and vote. Yeah, please get your votes in. Absentee ballots. All of Curtis, man, we appreciate you, man. Keep it strong, bro.
Get out and vote,
appreciate
people.
Your strength, man. We appreciate you, man. So keep fighting, man. We love you, man. We're praying for you as always, man. So you are inspiring us as well, man. So keep up the fight, man. Okay, sir?
Well, I'm going to try to stay strong for that Tampa Bay trip in February. Here we go, guys. Gary's going to get everybody's flight ticket, and
jeez,
I'm going to figure everything out.
That's only about 6.5 hours. I'm driving.
I did not know this guy.
Yeah, Gary. Gary's
wow,
a Delta employee. He's going to get you guys all flight tickets.
Are we going to drive, JQ, or are we going to fly?
I mean, we cut out one expense. We ain't going to get a rental car if we drive.
Oh, yeah.
That's for real.
You know, that's probably a better idea because all those rich people will be in airplanes. When it's Super Bowl time.
Yeah, now we know where we're going to meet. I can't wait. Get a big house. We don't even want to have a hotel room.
Yeah.
In there it is.
Airbnb.
They
get a big house.
Cool. Airbnb.
Yeah, pool and hot tub. It would be nice to have a pool.
Yeah.
And a view. I'll bring the kegs.
Oh, man.
All right, gentlemen. Be good, man. Bring the kegs. Let's have some fun.
All right, y'all.
Good job, gentlemen. Good night.
Good night.